Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, I'm talking about staging. What staging doesn't want you to see. Don't trust those throw pillows.
You're buying a home. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. Pull up a chair, we'll walk the line. Big step, big dream.
Hello, everybody. My name is Silas Lindenstein, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host. I'm here today to talk to you about staging in a home. When you go to a home and it is all dressed like a play, right? Like you go into it, you know, it's vacant and it is staged with beds and couches and it's the cleanest, most zen home you'd ever imagine. You'll never actually live that clean in your life. It's a great feeling. And I need to talk to you a little bit from a buyer's perspective on why they do it. And some hidden things that could be in the house that agents and stagers will use to make the house flaws not show up as well for you. So we're going to get into that today. If you are new to the program, my name is Silas Lindenstein. Like I said, I'm your host. I am a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area. But if you are not from Seattle, it's okay. This podcast will still be relevant for you. You will still learn lots. I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation about the best practices in buying a home, about things they should look out for, things that they should think about, and whatever else. Just a guidance and education on the process. I have good news for you. Those of you that have listened to this program before, some of you won't hear it because you skipped the first few minutes of it because you think I'm going to talk the whole time. I've rewritten the ebook that I have that breaks out the first like 10 steps of buying a home. It's like 25 mini steps, but it's basically a 10 part. I've rewritten that. So I think it's a little funnier. I think it's a little more clear, a little more conversational. It's very short. I say book. I'm not Stephen King. I'm the real estate dude. I'm the nerdy guy in Seattle doing real estate and podcasting. I think it's a good read. It's at least a little reference book for you. So it's free. Email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. Let me know where you are. I'll send it out to you. Especially if you're in the Seattle area. I give this to my clients that I'm going to work with, but I give it to everybody. And also we'll note that if you are looking to buy a home, but you're not in the Seattle, Washington area or in Washington at all, I can still help you out. I have a network of agents all over the nation that I can connect with and set you up with someone that I have vetted, I trust, and hopefully they're good people. I think I do a good job of getting rid of the ungood people, the ungoods. I get rid of them, and I'll give you some good people to work with. Shout out to Chelsea again in Denver. She's one of my favorite. She's got a couple clients of mine. So and again, email me if you want to get that info. Of course, if you could like this channel or subscribe where whatever you're listening to, whether it's the podcast or on YouTube, it's be great. Here I am. Look, 2 weeks in a row with an episode. I'm so excited. Staging. Let's talk about it. Because, you know, staging is great. I like it. You imagine yourself in the house. Sometimes it's too much. I even say that when I'm staging. sometimes it isn't saying, picture yourself here. Sometimes staging is saying, please don't look behind the plant. So today's episode for buyers, I want to preface this. It's not about becoming paranoid while shopping. It's about more becoming observant. And I made the little joke earlier in the beginning about the throw pillows. Don't trust, you know, like the throw pillows. That's the only reason I have a throw pillow in my house is because there's a stain on the couch. So then we put it there to cover it, right? And that's sort of what happens in homes. I was talking to somebody about this once, and they're like, so they're lying. I'm like, no, staging is not lying. Staging is marketing. It's kind of like your house version of wearing your LinkedIn profile photo, right? Like, you know, it's accurate, maybe aspirational, but it's probably leaving out a few details, some that you kind of want to know. And it's not that you should distrust your house, but the one you're looking at, the one you're liking, but you should have some follow-up questions about things that you notice or entertain in your head, maybe see if the agent notices anything. But these are just some things over time that I've picked up a little bit, and I joke, we in the industry will joke about, because we know what people are doing, right? We know what they're saying. Anyway, number one, I want to talk about the corner plant of mystery. There's often you'll go into a house and there's this giant plant in the corner, you know, real tight in there. If that plant is taller than your kid, it has some secrets behind it. I might be hiding some creaks, some cracks, not creaks. Hope there's not a creak in there. Cracks, water stains, baseboards. Maybe have something coming out of it. I know some of this. Look, I'm an honest guy, but I stage homes for my clients when I'm selling a house. And if I see something ugly or something that's not great, I take my big plant and I put it in the corner or put it right where that thing is that I'm having trouble hiding. So it doesn't look so good. Hide ugly things. You take big things and you hide. You try to hide them so you don't just notice them. You figure, you know, if they take an offer and they get the offer accepted, they're going to come in and inspect. And I'm assuming they're looking behind everything. That's just what I assume. That's not just me trying to make myself sleep at night. It's what I do. And, you know, trust but verify. We've heard that saying. I would just go, whenever I see the big plant, I go and look and see what's behind it. That's just what I do. I do that to a few things. I want to know what it is. Another area, number two, I'll put, the area rug. Area rugs look good. They spruce up the house. I use them in kids' rooms, whether there's carpet or not. I do throw them in, but you want to get in the habit. If there is no tape on that area rug, just lift it up, look under it, see, especially if it is hardwood, is there a stain? I doubt it's covering a smell, but just lift a corner, look underneath. I don't want you to think you're being rude. You're about to spend a lot of money. And you have every right to look at this house everywhere to make sure what's going on. So grab the corner of that rug and lift it up. Just put it back exactly how you found it. Okay. Now I will say I won't do these things in open houses if me and my clients are there and there's the agent there. That may seem a little rude, especially if they're trying to show it to other folks. But if I'm there by myself, with my clients, we will be looking under any area rugs that are in the middle. And here's the thing, because not everyone stages with them. They want to show off the hardwood. That's the thing. You want to show off the hardwood. So if you're covering it with anything, I just don't trust it. So I want to see what's going on. Furniture against the wall. Now this is, I feel like this is the one that makes me sound paranoid more than anything. Cause like if all the furniture is on the outside of the wall, it's possible it's a small place. Maybe they're trying to make it look, they think it's going to make it look bigger, but actually I know there's a trick to, if you move the furniture away from the wall, it actually feels a little bigger when you're staging. So when there is stuff, when it's all the way against the wall, like a couch and everything's like that, again, I try to look behind it because I want to see if there's something there. What's against the wall? See, when something's wrong with a house, usually there's things like windows. That's where leakage happens from water penetrating into the house. You know, you got your roof, but you also got the windows. Moisture is always trying to get in there. So I want to get anywhere around windows to see if there's an issue, because that adds up too. Might only be $200 for a new window, but if the place has 10 windows, things are going up. It's going to be costly. And it could be weeks or months to wait. I think things are better now, but during the pandemic, we had to get new windows, and that was I think we waited 9 months till they came from when we ordered and paid half of it already, and we had to wait 9 months for them to come. This is especially true when the bed is against the window, because that's not good feng shui. I don't think it is. If the bed is right against a window, I'm going over there, not only looking behind it, but I also want to open that window. I want to see if I can open it, because you are making it harder for me to open a window, and I want to see if a window opens smoothly. The number one, which is rare, is when a foundation has a problem and the house is tilting a little bit, the first thing that happens is the doors and the windows have trouble opening or closing. So I want to see, can I open up this window? I want to see if there's a reason you don't want me to open the window, like, because that's, if I look out the window, I'm going to see there's the guy across the street right there who's always mowing his lawn without his shirt on. I want to know that. I want to know if I open up and that's where the smell of the little, you know, chicken coop next door comes in. I want to know anything that's going on from there. And again, I want to look at the issues around the windows and see if there's anything, especially in the bedroom, because I don't want mold anywhere, but if there's going to be mold, I do not want it where I am sleeping. Cause that's like that feels like a silent killer there. Number five, art. Sometimes when it's a little strategically placed, you know, people spend time deciding where to put art pieces. So if it's not in a place that makes sense, like a little too high, I peek behind it, because it's a real easy way to cover a spot or a hole. Let's put a painting there. No one's going to look behind. Nobody but my listeners. They're going to look. You know, I had this idea for this podcast and I'm feeling really distrustful now. Like I generally trust people a lot. I trust but verify. That's what it's about. Number six, a romantic lighting. So you go to a staged home. It's like warm tones, low drama, great vibes. You know, when it's, you know, a little like mood lighting, it's great. Shows what it's like to really live there. terrible for inspections. Terrible. So you can't see things as well. I want it as bright as possible. And most agents want to turn every light on, make it look bigger, because it makes the darkness makes it cozy. You don't want it cozy. You want it big and bright so that you can see there's lots of space in here. And also, if it's a little dark and you're like, where are the lights? It means you're not getting much natural light in. So you want to have an idea of how much natural light you're getting. So that coziness, just don't always trust the coziness. Think about your usage for it. Like, I mean, the opposite's true, right? As well. Like I have one of the rooms in my house has a couple skylights, and I thought those were great. We looked at the house in the fall, and I did not know how bright it would be in there constantly. And, you know, it's a big first world problem, right? You don't always want that. Sometimes you want a little cozy room, and I have no way to shut those. I don't have blinds on my, on the skylights. I know you can get them. I just need to do that at some point, but you want to think about the usage that you have for these places, these spots. Number seven, the over stylized bathroom. This is what I mean. When I sage a house, the bathroom gets very minimal treatment. You know, a little soap dispenser, a couple towels, da da da. The more stuff in there, the less I trust it, because you're hiding stuff. And bathrooms, that's where water is. What is leaked in there? Why do you need to decorate this so poorly? Nobody cares that much. They care about how the space of it and do you have two sinks or whatnot. But if you are over decorating that bathroom, I am over not trusting you. So I want to see if there's anything in there. But it's just, these are like, they're like yellow flags, you know. It's not really a red flag, but a yellow, like just like, hey, do I need to see something? Are they an overzealous stager trying to earn their money? Or what's going on? Number eight. This is the sneakiest, I think, of all of them. I call this the, is this actually plugged in check? I got, when I came to my house that I'm in a stage, they had the TV up on a wall. It was a fake TV, number one. And they do that a lot. You'll see that if you're looking, there's fake TVs that they put up to show it's on the art, show it up on the wall where everyone mounts them now. Right now, this is only like, it only is like 1 pound because it was cardboard. Right. So when I move in, I discover like, oh, there's no outlets on this side of the wall. So I couldn't put a TV there unless I'm adding an outlet, and that's expensive. Also, you know, and sometimes people do, they don't want to show the cord, so they won't show the path. They take the path out because it does look kind of ugly, right? Or in our case, also the wood is just really nice and you don't want to kind of put a hole in it. So I understood that. The other thing is, and I've done this staging, sometimes you put little lamps on the tables, like next to the bed, because that's where the bed looked good. But I don't always plug in the lamps because there's no outlet there. So, and I didn't move the bed because it looked a lot better there and it made the space look really roomy. But if you're going to actually have a nightstand, you either need to run an extension cord or move the bed. And so I always like to see if things are not on, is there an outlet? It's one of those things that it's really easy to skip over because you don't really think about that. You just assume there's outlets everywhere. There's electronic appliances and there isn't. The house is staged again, like a play. It's not reality. This is not how people actually live. It's maybe how they want it to live, but it's not how they're living. It's definitely like a lifestyle thing. Only you can Only you can really know if it's going to bother you with the number of outlets or whatnot, how you would set up the space. Just can't count on the way they set the space up to be what will actually work. Number nine, fresh paint. Fresh paint is nothing to worry about if they have painted the entire house and the entire inside. But when you go into a room and only one wall was freshly painted, that's because something happened to that wall. Was it a hole or was it water? A lot of people will, the reason I keep pushing in the water is a lot of people cover water damage with paint, because that's kind of what you would do, even if you fix the problem, right? You got a little leak. It's just showing a little stain. Just put some paint over it. You don't need to replace everything. Or if you do need to replace the drywall, right? Did they not do that while they were still living here? So now they had to put on a fresh pair of paint because they cut it out, replaced it, but didn't really paint it, just left it there. Maybe that's why. It could be very innocent. So that is a reason when I'm having somebody fix stuff in their house, I have the whole room painted. Don't just paint one wall, paint everything in that room so that people aren't suspicious. Okay. Especially if it's one little spot, you know, there was a hole there or something. Holes aren't necessarily bad. That's just part of living there. But again, your job is not to just assume everything's okay with it, right? It also depend on who was living there. Was it owned by a tenant or lived in by a tenant, or was it owner occupied the whole time? It's hard to know. And number 10, this will be the last one that I go over right now. I don't know how to phrase it other than the suspiciously empty room. Now you go to see a house that says it has four bedrooms, and it's a great price for a four bedroom. And you're going through seeing all the bedrooms, and then you get to one, you're like, huh, that's a little smaller. And boy, they didn't put a bed in here. Oh, they put a desk. They put the desk here and a chair and a little like some drawings up. Sometimes people want to count bedrooms that are not really bedrooms, or they do technically count as a bedroom because it has a closet, it has a heating source, and the windows are big enough to open to get out. In a lot of cities, states, that is what is required to be a bedroom. You need to be able to climb out of it, or a firefighter has to be able to fit through it. Has to have a closet, has to have a heat source. So they're trying to get more money by calling it a bedroom. But they know if they stick a bed in there, it's going to look tiny. It'll fill up the whole room. So instead, they go minimal and they go, oh, I'm just going to put this little writing desk in here from IKEA, this small little one, and we're going to call it a bedroom. But we're going to label it bedroom/office. Like, do utility room. You could do anything you want here. That's true. You can do anything you want here, but they probably don't have anything in there because most stuff isn't going to fit. And you got to do something, especially if you staged most of the house. You got to figure out, get these last rooms. What can I fit in it? You know what? I'll tell you my secret. What I do for my small rooms that I'm staging, I'll make it the yoga room. Put down a yoga mat, some weights, some water, a yoga ball, and some calming pictures around. I do that sometimes for the third bedroom, but I will do it for the smallest one and be like, oh, it's just the serenity room. It's very modern and chic. And that's what a lot of places, what people are doing now in their houses. Also, I don't have to put anything in there, and I just make it look very serene. And I try to pull focus from the fact of how you will not fit a queen size bed in here and have any room to do anything. Okay. You find different uses for those smaller rooms. So that's it. You know what? My main takeaways. You know, actually, I'm getting all fancy in my old age here, my agingness, and trying to write up final thoughts. Remember Jerry Springer? When he would have that's me, Silas Springer. Big takeaway: staging is meant to help you imagine living there. Inspection is meant for you to understand what you're buying. They're different things. You're not trying to catch the house lying. You're just asking follow-up questions. Look behind the plant, lift the rug, open the window. You're not being difficult. You're buying a home. And if you want someone whose job is to see past the throw pillows, that's why you literally hire a professional like me or anyone else in your area. Agents see the tricks. So that's why you work with an agent. It's like, well, sometimes I don't like my clients going to homes by themselves for an open house. I want to be there because sometimes they get tricked and open houses are distracting. There's a lot of people there and then you feel competitive because, oh, they want to buy the house. Now, you know, all these interested parties. And so you're panicking and you don't pay attention. You don't look at the things. And also it looks really awkward if you're picking up the carpet and checking things there in front of the listing agent or whoever's helping them there. So that's it. Staging. It's not just something for sellers to think about. You buyers, you need to think about it. That's the program for today. I thank you for tuning in. Again, if you want my ebook, if you want to get referred to an agent in your area, please message me at Silas@silasgetsreal.com. I'll get back to you. Just tell me where you're from and we'll start communicating. Please like and subscribe, share this. If you're finding this information at all valuable, it really helps me get to more people and helps me able to keep doing this program to give this free advice to anyone looking to change their life by buying a home. So again, one last time, my name is Silas Lindenstein. Thank you for watching and happy home shopping.
You're buying a home. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. Pull up a chair, we'll walk the line. Big step, big dream, but the jargon feels mean. Pre-approval inspections, what's it all even mean? Hit play, slow it down, from that rent to your own ground. Every episode, another brick, another sound. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.